Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Listen, all you New Yorkers.
Back on The Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Get back to those calls in just a minute. Let's talk some Knicks from last night, BT. For me, I know you were upset about the loss. Well, look, we all were upset about the loss, but you got more upset about their loss to the Magic than I did. People were going nuts about that. I didn't use the excuse, but the reality was they were without Karl Anthony Towns. So while the Magic were limited, so were the Knicks. That's why I think last night was worse, even than losing to the Thunder. You know, the Thunder are a very good team. There's no excuse. Pistons may be better than we think, but they're not as good as the Knicks. And losing a game where you're at near full strength, where you get all your stars healthy, at home, in a rough stretch, the way that they played in the game, I thought last night was the worst loss of the season so far.
Problems start to pile up here, Sal. The problems are becoming more and more evident the more you watch the Knicks. This is now an unavoidable discussion. Yeah, I do disagree with the Magic and the Pistons. The Pistons have been playing much better. They're actually a pretty competent team at this point. But I mean, listen, even without Karl Anthony Towns, you could play the Warriors from 7 years ago. You take away their top four scorers with Jalen Brunson, Bridges, OG, supposed to win the game. So we do disagree on that. But last night, here's my biggest problem. Two things really jump out. Number one, and this has been a theme throughout, the Pistons bench had 46 points. The Knicks had 13. I mean, I don't know how much longer we could keep kicking this on down the road. Well, the Knicks bench isn't that good. Well, I mean, the Knicks bench, it's not good. You know, and it's now almost the middle of January. It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. And McBride's back. I mean, the pit 46-13, number one. Number two. And now this is a fundamental problem that is now becoming, let's face it, part of this team's DNA. They are soft on defense. You would think that the Knicks, you know, whether it's the Bulls game a week ago, the Thunder game when they got blitzed in the second half, the home game against the Thunder when they got embarrassed and smoked by 30, basically, the Magic game that we referenced, you're back at the Garden, all right? You come out, you talk about, Josh Hart spoke about agendas and egos. They come out and they allow almost 40 points to the Pistons in the first quarter. Where is the focus? Where is the defensive connectivity? Like, this team, it's just,
I'm tired. Sorry, BT. I'm getting tired of hearing Josh Hart, too, after the games. I know he's, like, standing up and being accountable. We played the soundbite yesterday.
Yep.
It's the same thing over and over again. Like, if you're saying the same thing, but there is no difference, that's a problem. I'm not going to go nuts. I still think everything is there for the Knicks. They could still be a championship team. Like, if I had to bet my life on it right now, would they win the championship? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the main issue to me. I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is soft or Mikal Bridges isn't a good fit. Like, I think the Knicks have the pieces in place. I think they have a problem defensively, and unfortunately, the way that they are built, it is heavily reliant, even with all these stars, on Mitchell Robinson. So if he's not going to be healthy, then they're screwed. If he is healthy and comes back, then maybe everything starts from the rim out, and he could be the rim protector, and things get easier defensively.
Yes.
Last night, I wanted to punch the screen. I was just sitting there watching it.
Yeah, I saw some angry tweets from you. You were into it. I respect that.
Because they did the same thing twice on the Malik Beasley.
When he was hitting threes, you mean?
You're running and chasing down Hardaway. Let Hardaway shoot the three.
But he's a pretty good shooter, too, Hardaway. Whatever. That's all he can do.
I'd rather him shoot it, but you cannot leave Beasley open, who's the better three-point shooter. You can't leave him open, and they did it twice, and it was the nail in the coffin. Not to mention Towns' stupid foul where he got...
He always commits a lot of dumb fouls.
Overly aggressive for no reason.
He's a sloppy fouler.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad... It was just a bad stretch, a frustrating night. But yeah, defensive issues are primary for the Knicks. You cannot allow 37 points in the first quarter at home to anybody, let alone the Pistons.
Listen, I certainly understand that there's varying degrees of reaction to how we unpack what's transpired the last 2 weeks or so. I don't want to go nuts and go over the top. I'm a little bit more alarmed than maybe some others, maybe slightly more than you and definitely more than some. But, you know, even for those who aren't really truly concerned yet, like this goes on for another week or so. It's going to be a five-alarm fire for the Knicks. Like, they can't hide forever. We're not going to be talking about who the Jets are going to hire forever. We're not going to be talking about who the Giants quarterback is going to be forever. Like, eventually the focus is going to switch to the Knicks, who made a massive move this summer, too, with the designs on winning a championship, and they're going backwards. Well, that's just the way it is right now. They're going backwards.
Well, here's where I'll call a timeout on that and slow you down for a second. They still are the third seed. So, like, we are holding them to a much higher standard, as we should, because we're talking about championship level, and we have not seen... We've seen championship offense at times from this team throughout the course of the year, but we have not seen a championship team. We have not seen that championship level competitively, whatever, defensively, consistently with this group. It's still only midway through the season, so there's still time, and then on in the playoffs. And I think the game against the Sixers is that tomorrow night, Wednesday night?
They play every other night. They have a pretty busy week.
That to me is going to be a Sixers, I know, have been struggling still a little bit, but they've been better. I just want to see some fight with this group. Point is, we still can evaluate this team. We got to see what happens with Mitch. I'm not going to say that it's going to be completely off the rails. Like, as slow as it's been to develop into a legitimate championship team night in, night out, they're still the third best team in the conference.
Yeah, that means less and less to me. Not that I don't want to at least hold on to the three. I do. But, like, the two teams in front of them have proven to be much better than them this year.
Right.
So that's alarming. Number one, whenever they play the Celtics, they don't win. And even though they beat the Cavaliers in the playoffs, I mean, the Cavaliers beating the Thunder. They never lose.
I will rank the Knicks right now without, like, we don't watch all the games, obviously, as far as around the league, but you would say clearly the Thunder are clearly better. And again, I'm not going to get into the Rockets or Grizzlies or Nuggets.
Let's just stick at the Eastern Conference.
Okay, right.
Boston, better. Cavaliers right now, better.
And that's what I was going to say. At least three definitively with the Thunder, with the Cavs, with the Celtics.
Yep, if the Magic Poncherro's not even playing. Like, again, they're really hurt.
Okay, but we're talking about three, four teams that are better than the Knicks right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, like...
But why I'm not getting too excited, because the teams behind them, I mean, the teams behind them didn't just give up five first-round picks and then just, you know, lose a few components that a lot of... You had to trade Randall. Hartenstein can only make 17 mil. I get that. There were circumstances that kind of handcuffed the Knicks. But here's the other problem, Sal. So we keep saying, and there might be some validity to this. You get Robinson back. You could play Cat at the four a little bit. Mitch protect the rim. Different look. Got it. No doubt. Defense improves. Mitchell Robinson is not even sprinting yet. I read that today. Not even sprinting yet. And for a big man who's had multiple ankle and foot injuries, even once he starts sprinting, there's no guarantee there's not a setback. So now it becomes more complicated. Hoff, can you double-check, bud? When is the NBA trade deadline? Just tell us on air whenever you know. Because the Knicks might be in a situation where they get Robinson back and they don't make a trade, and he appears healthy, and then he gets hurt again, and then they can't make a trade.
Yeah, they have to make a trade. Interestingly enough, the one thing that I keep reading about is Jericho Sims being on the block for the Knicks.
I have the deadline. It's Thursday, February 6th at 3 p.m.
Yeah, dude, that's only a couple weeks ago away. Yeah,
that's sneaking up.
I can promise you, Mitch Robinson will not play a game before February 6th. I can promise you that.
And now you've been seeing that they're trying to trade, or I guess at least...
Jericho Sims?
Yeah.
Well, who the hell wants him?
Well, I'm just saying. I don't want him. But the point is, they need to, especially without with the uncertainty of Mitch, they need to find the best defensive big that they could possibly find and go get him. And
there's not many anymore.
I understand this isn't the 80s and the 90s. But go find one.
There's old wings, and they got a million wings.
They had... what's his name? New Orleans Noel. They had who's the other
Noel
guy that
Noel
kept bringing back here?
He's about
Chicago.
Burks.
Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson.
I'm just saying, like, just go find a body. Dude, well, they don't have one right now.
Well, that's kind of why I'm a little more worried than you.
And by the way, Cat could be hurt. I mean,
he's limping around a little bit with that knee. And he's missed a couple games because of the knee.
And they have no good answer. Hoff had a tweet. You were telling us a tweet before. What's that tweet with the minute so far?
Yeah, first of all, by the way, Patrick Ewing keeps on showing up to games. Maybe you put him in the game.
I see Patrick has ingratiated himself. Nice to see the big fella back in the house.
Will he be there will he be there for Georgetown tonight?
He better be. And if he does, he's going to walk out with the big L chain. He's going to take it from Evan's neck. Smack those Hoyas tonight. Enough. What do you got, Hop?
Stephon Bonney put down as of today, every Knicks starter in the NBA's top 10 total minutes played. So Mikal Bridges is one, Hart two, OG three, Brunson is six, but I think he's actually five. Yeah. And Karl Anthony Towns is 10. Bridges has 1,592 minutes.
It's not sustainable. We talked about that, especially with Karl Anthony Towns. Problem is right now they have no choice. Even if they did have choices, I'm not so sure how Tibbs would handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But my two biggest concerns, forget about the loss that annoyed me last night. My two biggest concerns, defense and the wear and tear on those minutes. It was one thing to do it prior to this talent. With this type of talent, BT, Tibbs cannot run these guys into the ground the way that he normally does.
Okay. They have the L chain. How about we have a little concession speech here on the show? Will you at least grant me this, that I was right about Hartenstein? Would you at least grant me this?
How
you just glossed over Hartenstein's departure?
No,
hey, not be dead. It'll be all right.
You wanted Hartenstein instead of Karl Anthony Towns, and there's no way I would ever concede that.
Because Hartenstein wasn't for Towns. That was the Randall DiVincenzo trade. So I was good with that.
No, I understand.
Even though I love DiVincenzo, I knew you had to make the trade.
We were talking about big for big.
I'm talking about last year when he was on the Knicks. Hartenstein, like, the guy's such a good player. He's underrated, man. I miss him.
I will concede that I did not that I underrated Hartenstein last year. Forget about the changes this year.
Fair enough.
I'd much rather have Karl Anthony Towns than Hartenstein any day of the week.
Why can't we have both?
They couldn't, which is the problem. Yeah. But yes, I minimize what Hartenstein meant. And I said many times in the offseason, if I could keep one big, I'd rather have Mitch because he's a better defender than Hartenstein, and the Knicks get the better offense with Towns. Problem is, and you would always say this, that's great if Mitch could stay healthy. And not only can he not stay healthy, he can't get healthy right now. He's a big piece. All these acquisitions, all the picks they get up, all the star power that they have, it still comes down to Mitch Robinson?
It shouldn't. And here's the other thing, too. Now, I remember saying this a couple of weeks ago, but it's only getting worse. Like, so the stats, and Hoff, if I heard you right, so five of the Knicks are in the top 10 minutes played in the NBA?
The five starters on the Knicks are in the top 10.
Amongst the top 10 of the NBA. Okay, that's interesting. So, like, if the Knicks had a record like the Cavaliers, and they're chasing the one seed, and, like, there's an immediate dividend for playing these big minutes, maybe I'd be a little more okay with it. But you're not even going to host the Eastern Conference Finals if you get there. At this stage, you wouldn't even host the conference semifinals in terms of a Game 7 if you get there. And you're still running these guys into the ground. So at what cost?
No, they've got to dial it back. He's got to dial it back.
He's not going to.
But they're trying to figure out defensively. They're just not doing anything well enough defensively with any consistency whatsoever. That's been a problem from the first night until now, midway through the season. So it's on Tibbs. It's on for those guys to figure it out. But until they do, the Knicks have no shot at a championship. So they need that, plus they need to lower the minutes a little bit from these guys. Because you know what's right around the corner. Like, you hate to say it, but somebody's going to get banged up, and they're really going to be screwed.
Ugh.
And that's going to compromise where they are in the standings and make the postseason that much more difficult. Even if they do get Mitch back, they're going to be battling uphill anyway. Maybe taking on one of these top two teams in the first round. Who knows?
It's disappointing. Now, it's still not even early, but it's middle-ish of the season. Disappointed.
Three games,
I like
though,
what I'm saying.
Three games separate them and the Celtics in the standings.
I get that, but it seems like it's three planets in terms of championship viability right now. You know what I mean? It just feels so different.
I get
it. Can't stop anybody.
But there is an overreaction that is taking place in this town. It's like, the Knicks lose a few games. Hey, they're a good team. They're going to go on a bad stretch. It's unfortunate, but that's just the reality. Well, they're also banged up. They're not deep right now. They need to make some moves. Bottom line is they need to make some moves. It doesn't have to be superstar moves.
I know what you're saying.
But the best defensive big you can find, get him and get another piece for the bench.
Well, I got news for you. I don't think we're overreacting to the Knicks here. That doesn't mean that we'll be proven right. And by the way, I hope that I'm not, that these concerns go away and they figure it out. Mitch comes back, make a trade, get a little reinforcement on the bench. Knicks get, you know, on a run, and here we go, you know, playing into June. And it's like everybody kind of hoped and or thought. But, hey, when you know, I joke around with Soto, the crown's yeah. heavy, don't trip. You know, the Knicks are no longer a cute little story. The Knicks are now supposed to be among the best teams in our city. And the Knicks are supposed to be on the path to a championship. Now, I'm not saying that they won't get there this year, but right now, today, they're going backwards. They're going the wrong way. It's undeniable.
I know, but with all that being said, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I don't know if I'd say they're going backwards.
They are. They're losing at home. They're losing to teams they shouldn't lose to.
But that happens. But they still have the fifth best record.
To the Cavaliers.
They still have the fifth best record in the entire league. So how far backwards could they be going?
Going into the season, did you think the Knicks had a real chance to get to the to be a champion?
Yes.
Do you think they have a chance now?
I do. Yeah, well,
but to the same extent, same degree.
That's where we're disagreeing. I'm not changing how I felt about this team coming in. Obviously, that we've now seen them for a full half of a season, it's a little disappointing in that we know we need to see more. I was hoping by this point they'd really start to be gelling and clicking, specifically defensively. I don't know what the answers are defensively other than they need a rim-protecting big, which you hope comes in Mitch. But even if, is that going to be the answer? I don't know because they've been god-awful on the perimeter. I thought that was going to be better with OG and Bridges, two of the best perimeter defenders in the
league.
Among
the best. Every metric supports that.
So then why did they suck defensively?
I point this out. Jalen is a turnstile up top, and it leaves them vulnerable. They're chasing.
But BT, he's been there the last couple years. And
but you had Mitch, you had Hartenstein.
Well, okay, but that's, well, you know, so that's the point.
You know?
They need Mitch back big time.
And we're good. So here we go. The fate of the 2024-25 Knicks.
And can they? And now
Mitch Robinson.
Now
you, that's reassuring. Fantastic.
And I need you to admit that maybe you were wrong on things here.
Ooh.
One maybe piece aside from getting a big, maybe they could bring in, like I loved them and you were a little lukewarm. Maybe they could get back DiVincenzo. Bring Devo back and have him off the bench.
So I would love it.
I know you. I'm just joking.
I love him. He's not even playing particularly well for Minnesota. He fit here. He fit them.
You know, he'd get them to play some tougher than what they've been.
I know.
They have been as a group, I think, a little soft.
You know what they're missing? You know, as you said, Devo, I wouldn't even. I was thinking more. Yeah. You know, Mitch. Hartenstein with the DiVincenzo. Like DiVincenzo. He's got balls. I hate to say it, but he does. And I know that a lot of the other Knicks do, but Dante shows it. Like, his emotion, how he reacts, his body language, he's a little jagged-edged. He's a little unpredictable. And, you know, OG, cool customer. Bridges, cool customer. Brunson, cool customer. Cat, relatively cool. Like, they need that.
Yeah, I know.
They need a little pit bull in there.
They're too tame.
There you go.
Somebody got a
dog analogy.
Poke the bear a little
bit. Let's
go. Wake them up. I'm with you. Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The easy answer, maybe there's somebody else that could come in and shake them up a little bit.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
Oh, yeah, let's jam it up the A-gap after the wild card weekend. The road to New Orleans on the Fan, sponsored by Bet365 and powered by Verizon. The number one thing for me, BT, and we just take some notes from each of the games or whatever games that we choose to take from here, but the Texans' defense looked legit. So much so that I think they're a live dog against Kansas City. If I felt that Kansas City was vulnerable all year long, and obviously I've gotten proven so far wrong because they just keep winning, but I still feel like they're vulnerable. I'm not just going to dismiss that game on Saturday afternoon. I think the Texans are a live dog. They looked great. They looked hungry. They looked like maybe they could turn a corner after that win and get some momentum. I know it's uphill in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Seems impossible in the postseason, but because of their defense, I give them a chance.
It's not nuts. They are banged up. They're missing some skill positions. We talked about their own line. I remember when they played the Jets, that was a focus. They just make a lot of penalties. It would cause, commit some penalties and a little sloppy back there. This was my second one. I'll stick along the lines of the Texans theme here. Not so much if I think that they can win. I don't think that that's nuts. I kind of hear you on that. One thing that I noticed again is that Houston Texans fans, when they have a pretty good team, they're amazing. Have you been to that stadium for like a Final Four or Super Bowl?
No, I have not been there.
Okay. It's right next to the Astrodome. You saw the shot next to it coming back from commercials. Yes. It's amazing how small the dome looks compared
to... That's the old Astrodome?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
that. It's still standing.
Honestly, I'm looking at that. I'm saying, man, is that the Astrodome?
It is.
I was like, oh, no, it's probably Minute Maid Park with the roof on.
No, it's still the Astrodome. It's right next to it.
What do they use it for?
Maybe like monster truck mashups. And I think it's just kind of in a state of disrepair. But for whatever reason, they have not leveled it yet.
I'd love to just go check it out. But anyway.
Me too. Okay. I did when I went to the Final Four. I walked up to it. It was pretty wild anyway. And I saw the Bad News Bears. I was flipping through MLB Network the other night. And they had when they went to the Houston Astrodome in like 1980 when the Bad News Bears go to Houston, like they actually play in the dome, and it was like amazing. Like, is that stadium? I know I'm getting sidetracked, but that stadium was so futuristic. I remember like even like the Dodgers and the Astros playing in I guess 80 or whatever it was, the Phillies. They'd have like these fake fireworks on the scoreboard, and now you look at it's just so it's insane how forward it seemed and how antiquated it's become. Anyway. Texans fans are awesome. And you think about like the Chiefs fans and the Bills fans, and Dallas gets 100,000 with a sick stadium. The Eagles fans are nuts. The Texans fans are might be, in terms of knowledge and passion, the most underrated fan base in football. When they're good, they bring it.
Yeah, and you saw that energy, no doubt about it. The other thing for me, Jaden Daniels is, and you heard Baldy allude to this, he's so scary, and I picked the Bucs, and look, the Bucs could have easily won the game, but they didn't. Baker with that costly fumble, and Washington took advantage of the opportunity. I'm not saying I'm going to pick the Commanders to even cover in this game. I don't know where I'm going yet with that. I got to get a gut feel closer. But what I will say is with Jaden Daniels, I think the sky's the limit. At some point, I expect it to run out with a rookie quarterback, but he is so dangerous against a vulnerable Lions defense based off of what he did in his first rookie playoff game. On the road, I think Jaden Daniels makes the Commanders as dangerous as anybody else.
Yeah, I don't jump into the prop market as much as some others do. I know Costos loves it. We'll have Nick on this Friday as well. Nick Costos, big friend of the show here, BT and Sal. But if you're a prop player, I mean, yeah, and you don't think the Commanders can win, you got to think Jaden Daniels is going to do something good against that defense, to your point, which is banged up, even though that defense did shut down Sam Darnold and the Vikings last Sunday. Either way, that could be a pretty good game. My second one here is, you know, not exactly breaking news here because I kind of said it yesterday, but it's over in Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's never going to win another Super Bowl there. It's just not. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. I would look to trade him. I know he's got a no trade, but I'd be open to people if they call me. And how could you not call the Steelers about Mike Tomlin? I would do that. I mean, there's been three times in the last five playoff games or so where they've given up 40-plus points. And now you see a consistent theme, and I said this to Sal, I gave you the scores yesterday, like they're always down 28-0, 21-0, 31-7. It's non-competitive. Like they're not even ready to play playoff games. So I've got profound respect for Tomlin. I think he's great, but it's over in that city with that team for him.
The third thing for me was the Rams' performance last night. See, I there's a theme here. Teams maybe that were going in that maybe we didn't look at as legitimate going into wildcard round, but showed to have a great performance in wildcard round to where I think that they could be live coming up in this divisional round. And man, the Rams looked really good, and maybe they're rallying around the city. Who knows? But BT, I mean, they have the offense, they have the proven quarterback, they have the proven head coach and his scheme and all that, and they've got a tough defense as well. Now, again, on the road in Philadelphia, it's going to be difficult. I think they're going to put up a better battle than the Packers did from the wild card round, but the Rams' impressive performance last night dominating that game. I don't even think the score did it justice. It was, what, 18-point differential. I think the Rams dominated that game, and maybe they could be a team that could be dangerous in the NFC.
I'm watching the game, and I would know about Stafford. Obviously, we know they're incredibly well-coached. We know that they can run the ball. We know that they got some good concepts. And then I'm saying, oh, yeah, where's Cooper Kupp? I haven't even heard from Cooper Kupp yet. Boom, 22-yard back shoulder throw right down the sideline. Like, they're just really, really good. And they're really hot at the right time, too. I don't think that that's nuts. And Rams fans made it out to Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, there was actually a pretty good contingent. Like, they were loud. The final one for me, I think Bo Nix is going to be special. Not good. He's already good. Like, he's already competent. I think Bo Nix is going to be special. Getting with Sean Payton, and they can run it as well. They got a couple of good receivers, Cortland Sutton, some others. Like, he got drafted into the right situation, unlike many in our town who've been the opposite. You know, but he is poised. He's pretty fast. He's got a good arm. And that game, forget about the 31-7 final. I said this to Sal as soon as we came in yesterday. Like, that game could have been very, very different. Not that they were going to win, but that very easily could have been a 3-4, 7-point game where the Bills win a squeaker. They score the first one on the 40-yard bomb. They have the fake punt that didn't work, but they still had him by surprise. And I thought Bo Nix's numbers could have been so much better. If you watched the game and didn't just get the score, there were two, and I really think there was a third play where you're talking 22, 25-yard plays, they dropped the ball. And not like on first down, like critical, you know, pivotal points of the game. So I love Bo Nix. Love him.
Which hurt their time of possession, which hurt their chances to win the game. I'm with you. And it just goes to show you don't need the top pick. What you need is a smart coach who knows what he's looking for and can identify it in one of the top prospects.
Yeah.
He found that in Bo Nix. A lot of other teams passed on Bo Nix, didn't believe he was legit. We heard about the talk going in. Sean Payton said, no, you know what? I believe in this guy. Running one of the more complicated offenses that there is with Sean Payton. They talked about that, I think, on the pregame show on Sunday, how difficult that offense is, the verbiage and all that stuff that they use. And Bo Nix has thrived in it in his rookie season. I'm with you. It just shows you, BT, that special head coach and quarterback combination. Hey, could have been Brian Daboll. Whether it's Bo Nix, whether it's Penix, whatever. In this particular case, we're talking about Bo Nix. But the Giants could have had a quarterback if Brian Daboll was smart enough to identify and then develop him the way that Sean Payton was.
I got two quick ones for you. The first one's going to probably be real quick because I think I already know your answer. And it's, for me, it's different than Darnold. So we talk about these ex-Jet quarterbacks, you know, rising, right? Now, I mean, if your team, and not the Giants, because Zach Wilson's just not meant to be here, and obviously not the Jets, if you're a team that needs a quarterback, and there's going to be 7, 8, 9 teams that do, you know, I mean, we know Zach could throw it. He's a pretty good athlete. A year with Peyton in a laboratory, you kick the tires on Zach next year somewhere?
And then have
Raiders, whatever.
Yeah, and then have him
compete or something?
Be the next Baker, Sam,
what do you think?
Gino.
Can't do it. Can't see it.
I don't think so. I mean, give me the team. Give me the right team.
All right, let me hold on. Let me just pull up the stand.
Give me the right head coach.
Let me see. Hold on.
And the right team. Like Vegas, no.
How about, well, it depends who's hired in Vegas. If it's Brady, if it's Brady or somebody like that, an offensive mind, why not?
I still think he needs more seasoning.
Okay.
A year to develop, yes. I would feel comfortable one more year and actually watching him take the
field.
Like
play a little?
Yeah,
I got you. Like Darnold. Darnold wasn't 1 year. He sat for a little bit.
Yeah, he went to Carolina.
Yes, he did. With Baker. Niners. Baker was there, too. All right, so let me see what teams make sense. What about the Steelers as a backup?
As a backup, sure. As a starter is a different story. Backup, I think it's worthy. And if I'm him, I'm just staying there in Denver with Sean Payton and learning as much as I possibly can in the next year or two.
Browns. I mean, Deshaun's, he's cooked.
If I'm the Browns, I'd at least inquire, maybe, but... what do you think would happen if Zach Wilson went to the Browns? He'd be a disaster.
What about the Colts? Indoors?
Maybe a little bit better.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to say, BT, because we haven't seen him play.
I know.
And when we did see him play, he sucked.
I know. I hear you.
But yes, I like the thought process behind it where, look, I mean, if you can't draft a quarterback, well, why not take one that was once highly touted and selected high and maybe has learned? I put it this way. I guarantee you Zach Wilson is better today than he was before he joined the Broncos.
When he was carrying Mike White's towel.
Yeah.
All right, so this was the other question, real fast. Don't even think. I'm going to give you the spread. Give me your first inclination. I know it could change.
Yeah.
All right? Chiefs -8, Texans. What do you got?
Texans.
Okay. Detroit -9, Commanders, Lions. What do you got?
I think it's too many points, Commanders.
I probably agree with that.
I see it on the app at 10 right now.
All right, well, either I'm on a different one here.
Which is crazy,
that's
though.
Even more so, yeah. I've got Philly -6 at home to the Rams.
Probably Philly.
Mm-mm, okay. Baltimore -1 on the road up in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a tough call.
That is a tough one. That's the best game.
I will say this, and I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to do the same thing. I think we're getting not only good games this weekend, I think we're going to see some upsets.
Well, that'd be nice after a weekend of complete. I feel like I was watching a game games in August.
I know.
It was so uninspiring.
I feel like one of the big three are going down.
Okay.
Meaning
Philly,
Chiefs, Lions, or Philly. One of those three, I feel like.
Well, you got to put a fourth because either the Ravens or the Bills are going to be out.
Yeah, that's
true. That's one of those teams who can get there as well.
But the other ones are pretty big underdogs, is the point. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking forward to it, man. This weekend's going to be great.
You got your boys coming in. You got a little party going on this weekend.
Well, take a guess where we're going to go Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay, let me guess. Is that where the wing place?
No.
Okay, Saturday night. You're staying in Jersey. I'm staying in Jersey. Were you going to Rails?
Come on,
dude. Are you?
Of course, yeah.
Ooh, to watch the games.
Yo, I told Frank, I said, can we watch the games? He said, yes, there's an area upstairs. It's a high top. I'm like, okay, yeah, high top, what do I care?
Uh-huh.
He gave us the food, we order food, whatever, watch the game, so we're good to go. Yeah. As long as you can watch the game.
This is Saturday?
Saturday night. So for the Lions and Commanders
I was going to say, I would roll by. I got the St. John's game. Hey, Frank, to be fair, we'll take that Tomahawk medium and a TV right by our table. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we're good to go. A little red wine.
Nice.
You know, it's near the house.
Uber that night.
But yes, so usually we get together. Last year was championship weekend, but we find a way. My friends come in from out of town. We get together, or I travel to them, whatever.
Nice.
This to me is the best weekend in sports.
That's
I expect it to be a big game. Big games this weekend. All right, the road to New Orleans on the Fan. Sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365 and is powered by Verizon. We'll come back, finish up with your calls at 888-808-1019.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Larry is calling from Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, BT Sal? You guys are good.
Thank you, Larry.
I'll say good.
Yeah.
There's one franchise in this world that if you go, let's just say you go to Zimbabwe, okay, and you wear a Yankee hat,
yep,
they'll know exactly what that is. You can't say that about any other team
hold on.
No, it's a fact. Hold on. Nothing
Larry,
to talk about.
Larry, it's your fact. Let me just present another option,
no, it's
bud.
It's not a fact,
it's not
Larry.
A fact.
That's your opinion.
Did you go to Zimbabwe and ask people?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, listen, the other
they
thing.
They know who the New York Yankees are.
I know
are.
They are, Larry. I get that. But there's
can
also.
Can you say that about the Dodgers?
Well,
no. Can you say
Larry,
that about any
Larry,
other team?
Larry, then, okay, then let's just say that you're right. It is a fact. Then why aren't the Japan players signing here anymore?
You got me.
Oh,
but
thank you. And that's what we call a good call. Not great. A good call. Thanks for the good call, Larry.
That's
so
funny.
You think that's kind of just rude? You
know,
you don't have to call up and say, we're great. Like, we appreciate that, sure. But when you specifically say, you're good. You're good. Like, that to me is rude.
Could have said we're average.
Yeah. But I'm saying we don't need that precursor.
No, we don't need it, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, I guess.
Could also have been better.
But he also should have followed it with a better call then. I didn't even have to think that hard to get him.
Ah,
you got me. Oh, well, Larry.
I know.
But no, we do appreciate
Larry,
the call, Larry.
He fizzled out fast, Sal.
You know what I wanted to ask you about yesterday? You were telling me over the weekend you went to see a movie with Colt, right? You went Friday night, you had a little boys' night?
Yeah, Mufasa.
How was that?
Great. Did you see The Lion King, the original one? Mufasa.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like Elton John song?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long time ago.
That
like
one
in the 90s.
Yeah, so this is a playoff of that,
this
or no?
This is the prequel. So now you learn about Scar. You remember the brother
who
was the jealous brother.
Yeah.
And
is
Zimba's
it a cartoon?
No, it's, I don't know, what would
like
they
real
call
real animation?
Yes.
Kind of thing?
Okay. So it almost looked more like real animals. No, it was not quite the cartoon. Now listen, when you have certain songs in your head all these years, they're never gonna match the new ones. Like even when I started watching Frozen with my daughter, you know, let it go. You don't like that?
I think the movie's overrated.
I love it.
Okay,
love
interesting.
It.
Okay, Moana, fine, but
this is a smoke show.
Yeah, I mean, you're a sucker for Moana.
Well, no, I am. But like the music, and even in like Moana 2, which I also took her to, like the music to me in the second one is never as good as the first. But the difference with this, it was a little long. It was like 2 hours, which is long for that kind of movie.
Too long.
A little long. Again, I really liked it. It wasn't sad, which isn't a bad thing.
Okay.
But I see The Lion King, I tear up. I cry.
Yeah, I know. It's very
emotional. When the father, when he gets stomped, of course.
Yeah, for me, I probably can't even watch that since my father's dead now. But what I wanted to ask you was, what's the go-to snack? You and Cole, boys' night out, you're going into the movies.
Yeah.
Here we go. I love going to the movies. I miss it. It's one thing that, like, I would say, blame my wife for saying, like, once I got married, we stopped going to the movies, but it's really not her fault. It's our daughter's fault.
Love the movies.
We just can't go. I love the
movies. Go all the time.
All right, so you get, what do you get, a little big bucket of popcorn?
Well, first of all, I pulled an old school. I did something my parents used to do back in the day.
Some candy?
Yeah, we just snuck it in.
Where'd you
went to the gas station.
There you go.
Yeah, got a little Sour Patch. I let them pick out Sour Patch Kids and not Swedish Fish, which I like. The little tiny Starburst, like the little ones, little teeny tiny Starburst. And then we got a massive bucket of popcorn, drowned it in butter, and sucked out a couple of Sprites.
There you go.
Old school. Let's go.
I love that.
That was awesome.
That is great. Good for you and Cole.
Yeah.
You got to have, for me, it's all about the popcorn.
Got to have popcorn.
Maybe some Goobers.
I like those. I like the... what are the ones, they're chocolate with the little white dots on them, the snow caps?
Yeah,
are they called snow caps?
Snow
those
caps
are good.
Yeah, I like those. I'm not a Milk Duds guy, but sometimes
Milk
in a movie,
Duds money.
Yeah, I like the Reese's Pieces, Little Pieces.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those. Nah.
What?
Overrated Reese's Pieces.
Hoff, you big movie candy. What's your
Reese's
choice?
Pieces is actually my favorite.
Dude, come on.
Really?
Not the buttercup. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The tiny ones. They look like M&M's almost.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I respect it. It's an old school
Snow
legend.
Snow Caps is a good pull. Goobers, I think, is my favorite.
See, but I usually go for, I think I mentioned this, not that I don't like chocolate, but I prefer the strawberry lemony, like sweet tarts or Starburst or Sour Patch Kids. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Exact opposite. All right, really? BT and Sal on the phone. Let's finish up on the phones. Andrew is in Shirley. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
What's up?
Oh, can we cool it? Not just the radio, media in general, every take, everybody who talks about football. Why do we have such definitive takes of, hey, you know, in this coach, in this organization, clearly found this guy, and they've been around for 5 minutes. We have enough examples of either a guy coming into the scene and looking like a star and fizzling out, or a guy who is completely clueless and all of a sudden like, wow, where did his career come from? Mm-hmm. And some of them are in the playoffs right now. There's only like four quarterbacks literally in this league that you and everybody and I and everyone listening can just definitively say is great. And everyone else has had all these other changing opinions about them, sometimes week to week. 4 weeks ago, Sam Darnold was getting $200 million. Right now, he's getting about 70, if the starting job at all. It changes so frequently. So why are we just saying Sean Payton found a dime in the rough, guaranteed moving forward, and Jaden Daniels going to repeat this?
That's my opinion.
No, but they all say it. Everyone, you're not the only one.
Well, I know.
The whole station and beyond.
Well, C.J. Stroud last year is a great example.
He was terrific, and he got back to a playoff game this year, and he won.
Right.
Well, I mean, C.J. Stroud's good.
I know, but he
took a little step back, though, statistically.
Yeah, and then forget even the stats. Just, you know, he didn't take that next step. But the caller is right in that we do overreact to everything in every sport, one game, 1 year, whatever it may be. So there's no guarantee that Bo Nix is going to be a superstar stud. However, think about the alternative to where you've never seen Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, when they were here in their rookie years, certainly, do what Bo Nix has done this year or Jaden Daniels has done this year. I mean, there are, you know, even Michael Penix, who's a rookie, looked really good and was making throws that when you see from a rookie compared to other rookies who look overwhelmed and overmatched and eventually never find it, it's impressive to see at least that early on versus, oh, God, it's going to take years potentially for this kid to develop. That's all.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I would say to me there's four guys that are beyond reproach right now. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Burrow, and Lamar.
Okay.
Then there's a bunch of guys like the Staffords, who's amazing, but, you know, not quite that top level. You know, guys like Goff. You know, then you start to look at somebody like Jaden Daniels and project what he's going to be to him when he's healthy. He's got some numbers. Herbert, you know, last game aside. I mean, it's kind of fluid, that second tier.
Do you think we, like Trevor Lawrence, do you think we ever got to the point? Now, I never was as high on him as everybody else just because these things happen. Like, oh, you can't miss. Yeah, okay, bullcrap. I've seen it before. But do you think Trevor Lawrence ever put on tape at the NFL level what Jaden Daniels has done this year? For me,
no.
I'm not saying he hasn't been good because he has. Like, Jaden Daniels, there's something about the way that he's playing that you just know.
I agree.
Barring injury, like, he's going to be very, very difficult.
It seems like he's going to be winning MVPs, I mean, at this stage.
Correct. So that's number one. As far as Bo Nix, could he cool down? Sure, but what he did in that offense with Sean Payton in year one and progressing along. When we watched Bo Nix against the Jets in week whatever it was, three or four.
Okay. We had very early. It was also raining that day. It was torrential. Okay, it was pouring that day.
But even with that, he was not throwing the football at that point.
No,
near.
No.
Like, that was their offense. They were running it. They were minimalizing what he was doing.
For sure.
Or minimizing what he was doing down the field. So he has evolved and is developing. And in just year one, you're thinking, wow, in year one, if you could develop to a point where you get to the playoffs and look pretty good, even in the game that they got beat by the Bills in, is reason to believe beyond that. Nobody's saying he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, but think about the last caller.
Although you did say he's going to be a superstar. I guess that's where it came from.
Yeah, no, I got you. He's reacting to what I said. Now, think about this, though. Like, his premise was, and his question was, like, why do we, I guess we as, you know, you do you micro, you know, radio, whatever, why do we feel compelled to be so definitive in terms of elevating or downgrading players? Well, and forget about the specific names, just a general concept, because in the NFL, you either have a franchise quarterback or you don't. And when you overpay somebody and it's the wrong guy, it's punitive. When you get somebody and he's cheap, you can build out a championship team. And when you get a guy and you pay him and he's a transcendent player like Mahomes, you win multiple Super Bowls. So the salary cap is so tied into one guy. I don't think we do that. We don't fixate on one game by Aaron Judge. Playoffs, maybe. One game by Lindor. One game by Carl Anthony Towns. Football's different. Football's a one-game monster. That's why we do it.
Especially when it comes to the rookie quarterbacks in the league. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody.
You gonna watch the Johnnies tonight?
Yeah, I'll be into the Johnnies.
There you go.
I'll put it on.
Let's go.
I think.
Oh, come on.
I'll put it on. Maybe I'll listen to it on the radio.
Well, not on the radio. You got to get the app.
Well, whatever. On the app. All right. Thanks, everybody, who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Evan Tiki, they're coming up next. Go Johnnies for BT. We'll see you tomorrow, Ted.